David Nosticat, and welcome to the 26th episode of Frequency Resonance Radio. Today is Wednesday, the 10th of May, 2017 EV. Currently, it is 2056 Eastern Standard Time. Sorry that we weren't able to get the anniversary show done tonight. There's been some problems on Noia's end. We'll be doing the show tomorrow, meaning that this will likely be a rare actual three-episode week podcast week, or even a super rare four-episode podcast week. In Noia's absence, I found an article that summarizes some stories glossed over by the mainstream media. So, in that case, on with the show. So, the mainstream media has been focusing, as far as I can see, on James Comey being kicked out of his office as FBI director. They're having a field day with this. Headlines have been focused primarily on the implications that come with it, drawing comparisons to Watergate and, you know, questioning Trump's decision to fire him, who was leading an investigation into Trump's own alleged misconduct. You know, we're going to be talking about the Comey firing tomorrow, so we won't really be talking about Comey much today. On the other hand, here are five stories as compiled by the anti-media. And the first is that the Pentagon is seeking a troop surge in Afghanistan after 16 years of repeating that exact same mistake. It happened earlier last month when Trump decided that he was going to bomb Syria, and the Trump administration is considering sending as many as 5,000 more troops to Afghanistan. Options are still being considered. Even Trump and even Condoleezza Rice have pushed for a different strategy, but the Pentagon is trying to do business as usual, expand the empire, push endless war. We're still trying to... The Taliban is still there, even though we vowed to eradicate them 16 years ago when this invasion first commenced. It's been almost 16 years, and we still have not gotten rid of the Taliban. There are already over 8,000 troops in Afghanistan, so a spike of several thousand more troops would be significant, and it's just a sign of the military-industrial complex's continued hold over American foreign policy. So, nothing is really going to change. People thought that Trump would be a non-interventionist. Well, they're wrong. He is an interventionist, he's a neocon, he's basically the only major change is that we're doing this with the kid gloves off. We're no longer pretending that we're doing this for humanitarian reasons. We're no longer pretending that the wars are for the benefit of the planet. We're basically openly admitting that we're trying to do a Clash of Civilizations World War III scenario. We're openly admitting that we're doing torture and kidnapping, not what were the euphemisms that the Cheney used? You know, we're doing kidnapping instead of extraordinary rendition. We're doing torture instead of enhanced interrogation. Everything is going to continue. Nothing is going to change. We're actually continuing this endless war. It's never going to stop until the working class decides to rise up and put a stop to it. whether that comes democratically or through a horrible revolution, I don't know. Speaking of revolution, that's another topic we're going to discuss on tomorrow's episode. So, our second story is, of course, the fact that FDA-approved drugs come with rampant safety hazards. According to an analysis published this week in the Journal of the American Medical Association, 32% of drugs that have been deemed safe by the Food and Drug Administration were later flagged as potentially harmful. The study examined 222 novel therapeutics approved between 2001 and 2010. Post-market safety events included the agency either recalling drugs, issuing additional box warnings, or publishing safety communications for them. These after-the-fact safety actions were common among biologic and, guess what, psychiatric drugs, as well as drugs granted expedited approval by the FDA. This is completely unsurprising, sadly. The agency is run by pharmaceutical insiders. The industry provides funding directly to the agency. It's corrupt to the core, essentially. The agency uses studies sponsored by drug companies to make its determinations, so there are constant major conflicts of interest in the FDA approval process. Of course, even as they're approving synthetic THC, Marinol, for instance, they're still refusing to consider cannabis a potential medical treatment, even as just a supplemental medical treatment. Even as just a supplementary medical treatment, they're refusing to consider it. It's off the table, according to the FDA. It's practically a mystery why. It's honestly completely ridiculous that they're it's not a mystery why, actually. It's still completely ridiculous that it's off the table, but at the same time, it's not unsurprising given that cannabis has a wide variety of uses, and that would turn out to put a lot of the pharmaceutical industry out of business because, unless they do the Monsanto thing and patent strains of cannabis, they're not going to be able to like patent the plant itself. And here is a worrying story which just confirms exactly why the No DAPL movement fought so hard in the first place. It's that the Dakota Access Pipeline has already sprung a leak. Despite the months and months and months of protests expressing concern over this very problem, that the highly contested pipeline could threaten environmental safety and water resources, the project was pushed through, Trump approved it, even after Obama put it on hiatus, and demonstrations have been violently suppressed. On Wednesday, though, it was revealed that the pipeline leaked 84 gallons of crude oil at the start of April. This is a relatively small amount, actually. But the pipeline isn't even operational yet. It's not even operational, and it's already leaking. The Department of Environment and Natural Resources of No North Dakota did very little to actually announce the spill to the public. It just issued a small report on its website, very quietly, not alerting anybody or anything. Pipeline leaks, however, are rampant around the country, and according to a recent report from KCET, there have been over 740 leaks just in North Dakota in the past year alone. That means in North Dakota, there has been a leak or spill of oil every 11 hours and 45 minutes. That's one, twi two or three times a day that you're having oil spills. That is not good. That is the danger of these fucking pipelines and why we need to move to actual alternative energy sources, renewable energy sources, besides just the fucking climate change problem. So, the local CBS station reported, quote, "The April 4th spill was relatively small and was quickly cleaned up, and it didn't threaten any waterways." The state's Department of Environment and Natural Resources posted a report on its website, searchable database, etc. We already noted that they didn't bother to alert the public. The Department of Environment and Natural Resources says it will not fine Energy Transfer Partners, the Texas company behind the pipeline, because it was too small and not out of the ordinary. Size-wise, an 84-gallon release is pretty small relative to a lot of other things we work on, DENR spokesman Welsh said. However, in a statement in response to news of the spill, a Native American spokesman Dallas Goldtooth said, quote, "This spill serves as a reminder that it is not a matter of if a pipeline spills, it is a matter of when a pipeline spills. The fact that this occurred before Dakota Access even becomes operational is all the more concerning. We fear more spills will come to bear, which is an all too frequent situation with Energy Transfer Partners pipeline projects. As such, eyes of the world are watching and will keep Dakota Access and Energy Transfer Partners accountable." By the way, just as a reminder, some people in the Trump administration actually hold s stock in Energy Transfer Partners. So they're making profit from this approval. They're making profit from annihilating our planet. And now a truly sick story. I can't even believe how sick this one is. A cop was fired for not shooting a man who was suicidal. He is suing right now, thankfully. He is suing the city of Weirton, I guess that's how you pronounce it, West Virginia, after he was fired for not shooting a man who was threatening to kill himself. According to former officer Stephen Mader, who is also a former Marine, quote, "To tell a police officer when in doubt, either shoot to kill or get fired is a choice that no police officer should ever have to make." The suicidal man, Ronald J. Williams, had been begging police to shoot him, and another cop eventually did so, ending his life and preventing him from ever receiving mental health treatment. Mader also alleges that after Williams was killed, the city of Weirton waged a campaign to discredit him and his performance on the job prior to the shooting. Considering that c shootings by cops still occur on a daily fucking basis in the United States, whether because the victim is mentally ill, or the wrong skin tone, or simply to toting a toy gun, Mader's story highlights the grave lack of accountability many violent cops still face, as well as the struggle many, and I was about to say this myself, the struggle many well-meaning cops face to remain virtuous in a barrel of bad apples. That's right, they keep cop pro police apologists keep saying, you know, it's just a few bad apples. It's just a few bad apples who do this. It's Most cops are pretty good. The trouble is that there are a couple of things. Number one, white supremacists. An FBI reports have shown that white supremacists are flooding into local police stations, especially in areas with high-end numbers of minorities, en masse. To the point where it could be considered a national safety problem, a national security threat, the FBI put it that way. Not only that, but at the same time, they showed I forget what book it was. I think it might have been the Psychopath Test, but some studies have shown that police officer is one of the top 10 jobs for a psychopath or sociopath to enter. So there's a huge problem right there. When you have white supremacists and psychopaths entering the police forces at such staggering numbers, then you have genuine problems. When you have systemic problems where it's you're instructed to shoot to kill, suicidal people, those are systemic problems. It's no longer a few bad apples in the barrel. It's the entire barrel is rotting, and there are only a few decent apples left. We have to face this problem. We have to either, I guess, in the short term, we should really try to focus on totally reforming local police departments. I remember the new mayor of Jackson, Mississippi, I think, is a democratic socialist. So he has his community in mind, and he wants to actually reform the police, I believe. So we have to reform the police in the short term. In the long term, hopefully, we should abolish the police. We should move toward a fairer system where it's community members looking out for themselves, for themselves and for each other. And we should also move to a point where violent crime isn't even really necessary, where the material conditions that cause violent crime are alleviated. And helping out the poor is a really good way to do that. A basic income would be a really good way to do that, and ending the drug war would also be an excellent way to do that. And of course, speaking of policing, and speaking of major reform, not much reform has occurred for the NSA, which is continuing its program of warrantless mass surveillance of millions of Americans. This story actually broke last week, but received very little attention or concern from the public. The International Business Times summarized the findings of a recent report from the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. Even under the revised law, which only allows the quote, I mean, even under the revised law, which only allows the NSA to collect call metadata about individuals who have suspected ties to terrorism, the NSA was able to gather more than 151 million phone records, despite having warrants for just 42 individuals in 2016, and just a handful more from the year prior. Though Americans may be continually comfortable with mass surveillance, convincing themselves, I have nothing to hide, I haven't done anything wrong, I have nothing to fear, this story is actually relevant, quite relevant, considering that the FBI, just like the NSA, has engaged in spying on the public repeatedly, many, many, many times. In fact, the FBI itself helped pioneer the technology the NSA uses for its surveillance practices. Don't forget about James Comey's past tirades against encryption. Remember the Apple scandal, I think, back in 2015 or so. Remember Comey's to insistence on total government access to Americans' smartphones and data. This isn't surprising, but it's still horrifying that the NSA is still doing this. Nobody's actually speaking out against it. We need to get rid of these alphabet agencies that do nothing. We need to boost the agencies that actually help people and reform them so that you have less corruption in them and they go toward actually helping people. We need to get rid of these alphabet agencies that do mass surveillance and topple foreign governments and destabilize things and, the CIA, the NSA, etc. We need to downsize the military. We need to get rid of the entire Department of Homeland Security and and return all the necessary agencies that still that were subsumed into it to their original positions. Don't forget either that the FBI, under Comey, has a track record of everything from operating a child porn site in the name of stopping child pornography to concocting fake terror attacks for the sake of stopping terrorism, and not to mention its transgressions throughout its decades-long history. Don't forget the COINTELPRO program, the counterintelligence program. COINTELPRO program, that's like saying ATM machine. Don't forget that, as far as we can tell, it was them who killed Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Don't forget that they were involved in all sorts of shady business. So, as the nation continues to remain fixated on the whole James Comey firing thing, remember, there's far more to be learned from the stories that the media is not obsessing over. Read the back pages of the newspaper. Look at the blips that you see on the television screen. Pay attention to what's actually going on. Don't just give in to what the media is focusing on en masse. So, our monthly meditation, as recommended by Rudolf Steiner, is Equilibrium Becomes Progress. So, thank you for listening, everyone. Hopefully, this was an amazing, informing, and enlightening show. Don't forget to patronize me on Patreon or donate with PayPal or DonorBox. Please tune in tomorrow for our 1 year and 2 day podcast anniversary episode. Good night and love and light.